Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
Well, today we continue our study of Romans 8, 29, and 30 and the five golden links in the chain of salvation. And we have come to the third one, and we're going to, Lord willing, finish that up today and get into the fourth one, which is justification, perhaps on the broadcast today, but more likely tomorrow. Now, the third one is the effectual call. I read the verses again. For whom he foreknew, he also predestinated to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he predestinated, these he also called. Whom he called, these he also justified. And whom he justified, these he also glorified. And so, the first link, foreknowledge. The second link, predestination. The third link, calling. And it is what we call the effectual call, because this is the call that is always effective, as opposed to the general call, which goes out to all men indiscriminately, and some men heed it and some men reject it. So that is the general call, not the effectual call, but the one in this text is the effectual call, because it effectively brings to salvation all of those who are foreknown and predestinated by God to be justified and to be glorified. And again, I remind you that you can see this more easily when you go backwards through the links of the chain. Who are those who are glorified? All who are justified. Who are those who are justified? All who are called. Who are those who are called? All who are predestinated. Who are those who are predestinated? All who are foreknown. And by that you can see that since the ones who are justified are the ones who are called, this has to be an effectual call, a call that actually brings men to life, brings men out of darkness into light, so that in believing they will be justified. Because if it's a general call that may be resisted and rejected by some, then it could not be said that those who are called are those who are justified. There would be some who hear the general call who will not be justified because they will not believe. So this must be something different from the general call. It is an effectual call. All who are called in the way that is included in this word, calling, are going to be justified. That is very clear. And all of these things are consistent. You see, we're talking, of course, about the sovereignty of God and salvation. And this understanding of calling is perfectly consistent with our understanding of predestination and perfectly consistent with our understanding of foreknowledge. They all flow together because truth is consistent. When you find inconsistencies in the Bible, you can be certain that there is something that you do not properly and correctly understand. There are no inconsistencies in God's truth. There seem to be inconsistencies because of our less than full understanding of God's truth. And so where you find apparent inconsistencies, then just keep working to get the inconsistencies out. You may get them out in this life. You may not get them all worked out until the life to come. But nevertheless, you can be certain that everything that is a right understanding of the Bible is consistent with everything else that is a right understanding of the Bible. And these understandings of foreknowledge, predestination, and effectual call are all consistent with one another. It's interesting what Peter says about calling in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 10. And he says, "Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble." Now, the things that he's talking about takes us back into the context, and there are seven qualities there that he tells us to add to our faith. And after giving us these things that we are responsible to add to our faith, we have faith, we have been enabled to believe, we have exercised faith, we've been justified by faith, we have gone on and added these other qualities to our faith. And then we read in 2 Peter 1:10, "Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble." Make your call, or we could say calling, and election sure. Now here the word election is used in Romans 8:29 and 30. It is the word predestination, but I think you would agree that these are very closely tied together. And Peter talks about calling and election, and he puts them together. And he says we need to make sure of our calling and election. We need to make sure that what we think has been the effectual call of God in our soul, which therefore makes us believe that we are the elect of God, we need to make sure that that is true. Now, this tells us several things. Number one, it tells us that it is possible to know that you are one of God's elect. And that we need to understand. It is never possible to know that you are non-elect, but it is possible to know that you are elect. And that's a very important distinction, a very important concept in this whole issue of the sovereignty of God and salvation. It is never possible for anyone to know that he is non-elect. That is, as long as he's living upon the earth. Because you never know. You may not be saved today, and you may know it, but that doesn't mean that you will not be saved tomorrow. That doesn't mean that the Holy Spirit won't work in your heart this afternoon. You see, you just don't know. You can't be certain. Some people have taken the doctrine of election and have taken it in directions that you cannot properly go. And, of course, when that's done, that causes all kinds of problems, and it causes some people to reject the truth. The truth of the doctrine of election or other truths. And I have known people who have told me, "I can't be saved." Why not? "I'm not one of God's elect." "How do you know?" "I don't know. I just know." No, you don't. That's not possible for anybody to know. But it is possible to know that you are one of the elect of God. And Peter tells us here to make your calling and election sure. This also tells me, apparently, that it's possible to be deceived. To think you are saved, to think you have been called, to think you are therefore one of God's elect when you are not. And so there are certain evidences we should look for. If you are one of the called of God, one of the elect of God, then there will be certain evidences of that grace working in your life. And Peter gave the seven things that we are to add here. Verse 5, 2 Peter 2, or 2 Peter 1, 5. "But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble." So it is possible to presume upon the grace of God, to presume that you are one of the elect of God, when you really don't have enough evidence of grace in your life to draw that conclusion properly. If you do these things, you will never stumble. If you do these things, you can draw a proper biblical conclusion that you are one of God's elect, that you have truly been justified, that you have been called. So, be diligent, brethren, or be diligent, those of you who profess to be Christians, who call yourselves brethren, be diligent to make your calling and election sure. So, yes, it is possible to be sure. It's possible to have assurance. Some people think that it's never possible to know for sure. I insist that the Bible tells us in many different places and in many different ways that it is possible to have a true Bible-based assurance of salvation, and it is desirable to have it. It's a healthy spiritual state to have it. However, it is, as we know, dangerous to have a false assurance, and we don't want to do that. But just because some people have maintained a false assurance doesn't mean that it's not possible to have a true assurance. And so we need to understand the difference, and we'll only understand that as we continue to give careful attention to the Word of God and see what it says. So yes, you can know that you are saved. You can know that you are on your way to heaven. You can know that you are one of God's elect. You can never know that you are non-elect, that it is impossible for you to be saved. You see, this doctrine of election does not bar anyone from coming to Christ who otherwise would come, who would want to come. It doesn't bar anyone from coming. And this doctrine of election, properly understood, is no barrier to evangelism. All of these are misunderstandings and straw men and many times accusations which are raised by people who either don't understand or who are deliberate enemies of the doctrine of election as taught in the Bible. But properly understood, the doctrine of election is no barrier to assurance, it's no barrier to evangelism, and it is no discouragement to come to Christ. Anyone who concludes that he can't be saved because he's not one of God's elect has drawn erroneous conclusions. These conclusions are not based upon truth. They're based upon a distortion of the doctrine of election. And, of course, one excuse as good as another. One may offer this excuse for not coming to Christ. One may offer another excuse for not coming to Christ. But all that proves is, here's a heart that doesn't want to come to Christ. And just because you offer a doctrinal excuse and use the doctrine of election as your reason for not coming doesn't mean that you have a valid excuse any more than the person who says he doesn't come to Christ because he's seen too many hypocrites in the church. I mean, we have all kinds of reasons why people tell us that they don't come to Christ, but what it really boils down to is that you love your sin more than you love Christ. You love darkness rather than light. You don't come because you don't want to come. And when someone doesn't do what they know they ought to do, then they always want to justify their disobedience. And so some will, of course, turn to a distortion of the doctrine of election as their justification as to why they don't come to Christ. It's impossible for them to be saved, and it's God's fault. God will have to be responsible for that. I'm not responsible for that. In the day of judgment, you will find out that you are responsible for that. You will bear the full weight of responsibility. You better accept it now. Acknowledge that it is your responsibility and fly to Christ. May God help you to do it. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you His eternal peace.